What's going on, everyone? Look at me all shine and bright like a diamond if you guys are watching on YouTube. I may have had a little bit of input a few weeks ago from potentially two ex-co-hosts of the show that things were looking a little bit dark and gloomy in the studio. So they suggested maybe I get some new lighting, and to which I replied to them of pull your wallets out and fucking pay for them then, which neither of them actually Ash did. Say, okay, I'll do it. But hopefully he didn't go and buy any lighting. Maybe I should have confirmed. But yeah, I don't know how this is going to look. This is basically like the trial run. I know nothing about lighting. I know nothing about any of this shit. And since I sacked Adrian, I don't have him on call anymore to fucking work out all the kinks. So last night, Nikita and I were in here trying to work out how lighting should be situated, and basically everything I was reading on the internet, she was saying no and saying it looks better if it's set up like this. So we'll see. We'll see how this comes out. It could look like absolute dog shit, but we're giving it a go, eh? We'll see what happens. But bit of a recap from last week. Last week was a little bit chaotic because of the whole wisdom tooth journey, so I guess I'll fill you guys in there. I went there and he goes, let's rip the fucker out, which is... I mean, it's ideal in the long run because I was in immense pain, but I don't know. There's nothing too exciting about a dentist saying he's about to reef on your jaw for half an hour to try and rip a tooth out. The other thing I didn't get is, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, this dude told me both the bottom teeth were on nerves, so I'd have to go and get this expensive surgery. And then when I didn't go and do that, he's now extracted both bottom wisdom teeth without any surgery. So I don't know. Is he trying to scare me out of my money? Who knows? Could be. But yeah, the wisdom tooth has been pulled out. It was a complicated extraction, which is always fun. Price range from $250 for an easy one to $700 for a complicated one. And of course, coincidentally, I had a complicated one. Again, he's probably just fucking ripping me off, and I have no dentist mates to clarify that with. Actually, I know someone who just bought a dentist clinic, and now that I'm saying this out loud, I should have fucking gone there. I'm pretty sure he listens to the show as well because he messages me every few weeks. So shoot me a message if you do listen to this episode and you can hook me up with some sick dental work. But still in a little bit of pain back there, which I don't remember the last one being this painful for this long. Like, it's literally a week now. But I did have you'll never fucking guess. I did have an awkward moment at the dentist, and I feel like my awkward people that listen to this can relate. I don't know why. This always fucking gets me. So I got in my car after the surgery thing, and I'm obviously all frazzled and shit, and I've thrown it in reverse, and I've started to turn, and I don't know why, but I had to readjust my hand to get to the full turn. And as I've done that, in a packed out fucking shopping center, my palm has just fucking hit my horn, and then it was like time stood still, and everyone in the whole car park, like people were coming out of shops and shit to see if there was a big accident or something. But it was just some fucking swollen face fuckwit trying to reverse his shitty old Ranger out of a car park. But yeah, I don't know if that happens to you guys, but it made me feel awkward as fuck. But another big milestone, and to loop it in with the whole tooth thing, Westy lost another tooth, and I would say there is going to be another one out by the end of this week. So I don't know what's going on in his head at the moment, but he seems to be dropping teeth left, right, and center, which is fun for the tooth fairy. If kids are in the car, I will give you a moment to skip forward. 3, 2, 1. So Westy lost another tooth, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago or something, maybe 2 weeks ago. And by the time the kids went to bed that night, Nikita and I were both fucked, and we basically fell asleep with the kids, if you know what I mean. And the first person, of course, the next morning to wake up was Westy, and I'm like, holy shit, I didn't do the Tooth Fairy money. I know Nikita fell asleep the same time I did, so that means she probably didn't do the Tooth Fairy money either. So then my heart has fucking sank that this poor kid's going to go to his room and see no money from the Tooth Fairy. But Luckily for me, Nikita wakes up about 38 times a night, and she went in there and gave him a fiver, which, I don't know, I think I spoke about it before. Back when I was a kid, when the Tooth Fairy came, used to be a gold coin donation from what I remember. Could be wrong, but yeah, that's what I remember. Another big milestone for that kid. I put a Instagram fucking reel thing up a few weeks ago because it feels like I just always come and like post and shit about Westy. And it's just because he goes and like does cool shit to post about. And if I posted about Parker, you'd be watching him watch YouTube for 48 hours and then go outside and be like, the sun is too bright, I'm going inside. Which, as you could imagine, wouldn't get too many likes. I've treated myself to a little beverage here, if you guys are watching. It's a Peroni that was left in my little bar fridge over there from possibly a previous guest or possibly Adrian. I have had Peroni before. I remember when I was 18, we first started going to bars and shit. We went to like a Sunday sesh, and my mates that I was hanging out with, they used to like try and buy beer that made them look rich. And one of my mates was like, here, I got you this one. So let's see how she tastes, eh? Oh yeah, it's okay. But I've just wrapped up a full kitchen install for the day, which I know you guys are hanging on the edge of your seat to fucking find out about. But first big install I've done since I fucked my knee, and glad to say I feel pretty good. It was a pretty fucked unload as well. It was on a huge steep hill through gravel and shit, so my trolleys didn't work, so everything was literally carried in by hand, which is always fun. But got in, got it done. Now I'm treating myself to a beer. I just realized as I took that sip, I prepared a little soundbite for every time I take a sip. And again, I don't know if this is the one I'm gonna land on. I've been racking my brain about what movies mention drinking or have a cool, like, fuck something. Like, you know what I mean? Like a cool thing from Superbad. Or I was scrolling Freddy Got Fingered because that's my favorite movie, to try and find something that related to like having a drink, but I couldn't find anything. And then literally on the little sidebar on YouTube, I think it's because of all the talk from wrestling and stuff recently, it came up with a little suggestion for me. So I'm going to take a sip of my beer right now and I'm going to play the soundbite and tell me if you guys would prefer to hear something like this while I take my drink, or just the awkward silence for a few seconds. So are you ready? Here goes my drink. Oh, yeah. How'd that sound? Was that a bit better for your ears? So for those that don't know, that is the start of the Stone Cold Steve Austin theme song. And the relation to beer and drinking with that is Stone Cold is infamous for getting up on the corner of the ring and smashing two beers together and just tipping them all over himself. So I'm going to touch a little bit on wrestling when we get to sport. So stay tuned for that, guys. But two more little stories from my personal life this week that I feel need addressing, and then we'll get to our usual segments. So this week, and I'll put this out here now because I'm not sure when you guys are going to be hearing this episode, to be completely honest. So I'm recording at normal time on a Monday. Technically speaking, it should be ready for a Tuesday upload for you guys to listen to. Only issue being, we have not had internet since last Wednesday. So we got a message from our provider saying, your internet is not going to be active for the next 48 hours. And I'm like, oh, okay, that fucking sucks. But what do you do, right? So Nikita comes home. She goes, that's weird. Like, because it was a bit of a weird message. In hindsight, now that we reread it, it sounds like we have asked them to disconnect the internet to do some maintenance work or some shit like that, right? But I was like, oh, they've said 48 hours, so let's give them the 48 hours and then we'll hassle them, right? So we wait Wednesday, Thursday, Friday we call them. Was it Friday? Must have been. And then they start to spin some bullshit that we had, for whatever reason, called up and asked for them to hold all our services and shit until further notice or some bullshit like that. I don't know. Nikita spoke to him and she got pretty angry, impressively. Normally she's pretty timid and understanding of those poor phone people. But yeah, she let this poor lady have it. And they want to charge us all these fees and shit for their fuck up. So we've decided to go with another service, which they are hoping to have us up and running. Best case today, which will mean you guys will get this Tuesday. Worst case, Wednesday. So it could be a late upload. Absolute worst case, I'm trying to get the audio out there. So sorry to all my YouTube listeners or watchers, whatever the fuck you want to call yourselves. But you could be getting this one late. But there is an episode this week, so everybody hang tight. Anyway, long fucking tangent to get to this part. Because we've had no internet, it has thrown me way back into the olden days as to what the fuck did we do before the internet? Like, and I know I'm of the age where, like, we had internet, but it was like the dial-up shit where no one could be on the phone, and if you were downloading a picture or something, it would be like bar by bar by bar or a fucking song. You'd just download some, like, who was that? What's his name? Bill Clinton. Remember all the time you'd download songs on LimeWire? You'd wait 3 days for this song to download, and then you finally get it, hit play, and it's just that stupid, whatever comedian it was, like imitating Bill Clinton, that famous speech he made. But God, that used to piss me off. Anyway, because of that, we've got two young kids that have grown up with the internet. Understandable, right? That's today's day and age. We try and limit screen time and shit, blah, all the shit you're supposed to say as a parent, blah, 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 blah. But in fairness, they do watch a fair bit of TV. They fuck around on their iPads. They whatever. So that has been undoable the last couple of days with no internet, because obviously the TV connects to the internet to get to all the streaming services, to get to YouTube, to get to fucking everything. So the best thing we could do is what's the thing where you fucking link your phone? Hotspot. So we've been hotspotting the TV to the phone, but it's just not the best internet to be streaming shit. So it's just super laggy and shit like that. So we've dug out all our old DVDs and shit. Now, sounds like it's a lifesaver, right? DVDs, the kids can watch DVDs. Holy shit, I did not remember how much time we wasted with fucking DVDs. So first issue, you put the DVD in, it spits it out. Put the DVD in, it spits it out. Like we're playing the fucking hokey pokey with my PlayStation. So then you give it a little bit of a scrub, try and get the scratches off. Still doesn't fucking work. So you're like, this is fucking sick. Finally get it to work. And then you've got to sit through 20 minutes of unskippable fucking warning labels and you wouldn't steal a car, you wouldn't steal a fucking handbag, blah, 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 blah. And then you get to the menu. I forgot all about DVD menus. So then you got the menu where it's like play movie, scene selection, extra items or whatever it is. And then all these other lists as well. So then you accidentally bump one of them and then it takes you to a whole nother fucking tangent. I don't know how we lived with DVDs, but it's so much quicker now to just literally go on Netflix, click a movie. Oh, I don't like that one. Click on the next one in a matter of literally seconds. It's been a eye-opening experience. And when I get the internet back, I'll be very, very appreciative of it. Westy actually said to me yesterday, I said to him, that's right, because we're fucking around with a DVD. It wasn't working. And I go, you know, this is like how I used to have to watch movies and stuff. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, oh, well, like Netflix and all that sort of stuff didn't exist. Like the internet wasn't always around. Like people never had the internet. And he's like, what did people do with all their time? And I'm like, I do not know, buddy. I do not fucking know. But I guess You've got to adapt and overcome, don't you? But it's also been a little bit of a what's the word where you're in like rehab and you come off drugs and shit? Again, I was talking about this last week where I can't think of fucking words. Cleanse. It's been a cleanse of my Fortnite addiction, which, hey, some would say it's good, some would say it's bad, but I'm fanging for a game of for Fortnite. I've probably dropped like 38 ranks by now, but we'll see what happens. Oh, yeah, just had another drink. So for those that weren't familiar with why the fuck they just got the Stone Cold music just played in their eardrums. But, yeah, one more story from my chaotic life. This is probably this is my can't get any worse story for the week, literally. And it's completely fucked up. And I've only got myself to blame. So let's get into it, right? I will, for this segment, pretend we've just spoken about a gig, all right? We're going to get to it later in my weekend comedy. But I'm driving back from a gig, right, from the city, cruising on the highway. Actually, no, before I even got to that. Okay, start again. Take a breath. Everyone with me? Okay. Finish the gig in the valley, right? I walked to my ute. I had to take my ute because Westy had his first sleepover this week. So Nikita wanted the family car in case he wanted to be picked up. Holy shit, the lights just dropped out. sick. Good start to the whole lighting situation. What's that, 15 minutes in and we've got no lights. Hopefully we didn't lose the camera and shit, so it's still flashing at me. Anyway, let's kick it old school for the rest of the episode, eh? Finish the gig in the valley. I'm walking to my car. And to be honest, I've let my dirty old work ute turn to shit recently. I haven't washed it for probably a year now. And the inside is just old water bottles, a couple of fucking chip packets, whatever I've just been too lazy to take to the bin and I've thrown down there. Like, it's definitely not the worst I've ever had it. But it's pretty gross. It's a mess in there. Now, little did I know that because of this mess, a large family of cockroaches, whatever the plural for, well, cockroach plural is cockroaches, fuckwit, so shut up. They've decided to make my 2010 Ford Ranger their place of inhabitants. So going off the recent laws, I believe they have squatters' rights, so I cannot kick them out of my place of housing. But sorry, I didn't play the sound effect just then. But yeah, I open the door, my interior light comes on, and I see about, without exaggerating, maybe 10 to 15 cockroaches on my dash, on my seat, on the floor, just fucking scattering around everywhere, right? And because the lights come on, they've got scared and ran away. So wherever the fuck they ran, I don't care because they're not near me anymore, right? But cockroaches are still fucking disgusting creatures. So I've got in my ute. I've started driving. I'm driving down the M1 and I'm getting pretty close to my exit. I'm probably, I don't know, a kilometer away from my exit. Let's say that. And I'm driving on the highway. I got my music cranking and I feel something drop onto my head. And I'm like, that can only be one fucking thing because I just saw a family of cockroaches fucking mauling my ute. So, of course, I bat my head and this cockroach comes flying off onto my passenger floor. Then I feel another one crawling up my back. So, obviously, I've fucking shit myself and I've started trying to hit my back. Obviously, because I've got the biggest fucking shoulders in the world. It's a difficult thing. But, yeah, I got those two cockroaches under control. Now, I've approached the exit now. I'm at the exit to get off the highway. And I feel at the same time in both legs of my jeans, fucking things crawling up the legs of my jeans. And I have gone, holy fuck, this can't get any worse. But obviously I've freaked the fuck out and I've slammed the brakes on and pulled off into the like parking bay. And I've done the only thing that I could do. And I have kicked my shoes off, ripped my jeans off, ripped my shirt off, and I'm standing on the off-ramp of the M1 in just my fucking pink jocks. As we all know, I wear pink jocks to shows every show. Otherwise, I bomb. Even when I do bomb, I've got pink jocks on. So, yeah, I then proceed to get back in my ute with just my jocks on, drive home. And obviously, my wife was very confused when I've unlocked the front door and walked in, holding all my clothes just in my jocks. Then I had to explain to her. Luckily for me, her biggest fear is cockroaches. So she completely understood and thought there was no other option. So that's my fucked up story for the week. Here's another fucked up story since I just spoke about my wife and bugs. I was pretty occupied yesterday with the UFC, which again we'll touch on soon. So that left my wife and children both pretty bored. So they have stumbled upon 9 snails, which they have brought to our house to make our house their new home, as you do. And in their boredom yesterday, I say their boredom, but it was my wife's suggestion and she did all the legwork. She took them shopping and built a snail habitat, including fairy bridges and fairy mushrooms, and it's quite a sight. I'm actually going to put a story up on my Instagram when this episode drops, just so you guys can see how crazy my wife is. So yeah, if you guys need some snail enclosures built, hit up my wife, Nikita Misson. Oh yeah, that's some good beer. But yeah, little ill prepared for this episode. Like I said, I just finished an install, and I was going to tidy this episode up before I started recording, but I ran OT on it. So overtime, for those non-familiar with trade terms, I saw this big thing going around TikTok at the moment where apparently 50,000 apprentices have quit before they've finished their trades. And everyone's obviously blowing up at them like, oh, these people are so lazy, blah, blah, blah. And for someone who literally from the moment he got in the industry wanted to leave, I somewhat take my hat off to these kids being brave enough to go, this shit is fucked, waking up every single morning at the crack of dawn, 9 times out of 10 going to a building site and just getting fucking abused and doing the shittest work possible. Like, prime example, lugging cupboards by yourself into a fucking house. But yeah, I definitely didn't have it too bad. I had a pretty cruisy apprenticeship with a bunch of good blokes. But yeah, I've obviously been on plenty of job sites where you see the apprentice copping it, probably more than he should. I'm a big believer of apprentices should cop a little bit of shit to build that thick skin. But yeah, there's always that line, I suppose. But because of that, I don't really have any news articles of the week. I guess the big one going around is OJ Simpson died. So there was a lot more positivity around that than I was expecting. Like, I thought everyone was on the same page that this dude was a bit of a bad egg, but a lot of sort of rest in peace OJ things. And yeah, I didn't know. I felt like I had to jump on the moment like everyone else was. So I just reshared a little story Your Mum's House, the podcast studios, they posted. So I jumped on the coattails of that one and rode that off into the distance. But should we do, fuck it, let's do sport and then we'll do my week of comedy. So just quickly, because I know, again, I said this last week, I know fuck all about this these days, but I somewhat feel like I watched it just on highlights on YouTube and TikTok. So WrestleMania 40 was last week, and obviously I touched on a little bit, Cody went and finished his story, but it is, from what I saw and from what all the wrestling fans are saying, it was like the best WrestleMania ever. And obviously I pretty much saw the whole Cody Rhodes match via TikTok. So that match was insane, the amount of like old wrestlers and shit that they brought back and just made such a spectacle of it. And then obviously finished off Cody's story, which was the big, it was the big thing leading up to like WrestleMania this year, which again, people that aren't wrestling fans aren't going to give a fuck about this, but it's just good to see some like good storytelling back in wrestling, I guess. Not going to say I'm going to go and watch it every week again, but another cool moment from it. Cody Rhodes' dad was Dusty Rhodes, who, like I said last week, old fucking trailblazer of the wrestling industry and shit. And when Cody Rhodes won, when he went backstage, Triple H and another couple of guys handed Cody a Rolex, and it was the Rolex that Dusty Rhodes had pawned off back in the day to send Cody to acting school, which I thought was a pretty cool thing for them to track down the Rolex, get it back for him, and I guess cap off that whole championship chase for him. But let's get on the big one, the one that I know a little bit about. This UFC 300 was yesterday. Again, touched on it last week, but now it is etched in the history books, and it will undoubtedly, I know there's going to be a lot of people that argue this, but I have seen a lot of actual proper MMA media and things like that back what I'm about to say, and I wholeheartedly believe it. From start to finish, I think yesterday was the best UFC I have ever seen. If you've never got into MMA, you've never watched UFC, you think it's fucking bullshit, pause this right now, go and watch UFC 300 from the start to the finish and tell me you're not a fucking fan. So, let's get into that and then we'll touch on what happened at the end. So let's touch on this as well. I put myself out there again. I've only done this probably two times before, right? I put some tips up on my Instagram story of not necessarily who I think is going to win, right? So let's make this very clear. And this is what I've said to a few people that have messaged me that are like, oh, fuck, your tips aren't going too well. I always look at tips for whether it be football or fucking UFC, whatever. 9 times out of 10, I'll always back the underdog. I'll never bet on a favorite unless I just want to do it for literal fun. And I know it's a sure thing, but like people betting on things for $1.50 just doesn't make sense to me. Like you put $100 on to win $50, or you win or you lose $100, like, or you put $100 on to potentially win $200. Makes sense to me. So I think I picked like 70 to 80% underdogs, which a lot of them did get up, which I should say this as well. I did put some money on yesterday, and although a lot of them lost, the ones that did win still put me ahead just because of the money lines on them. So, I mean, if I had to put up tips of who I genuinely think is going to win, it would be fucking boring. It would be like every other MMA source that you guys see just literally tipping the favorites. And again, 9 times out of 10, it'll win and they'll look fucking successful. This is the other thing when people like message and go, oh, you shouldn't have fucking picked that one. They're also the people that like will bet on, will watch one UFC in their entire life, and it'll be like Holly Holm versus Ronda Rousey, and they'll be like, oh, I'm going to bet on the chick that no one thinks is going to win. And then, of course, lightning strikes and Holly Holm knocks out Ronda Rousey, who at that time was the fucking world beater. And then they'll be like, oh, I told you guys. I fucking knew it was going to happen. No, you didn't. It was a fucking fluke. It was like what was that horse's name? I had a mate who was never into betting, right? And me and my mates were really into horse betting at this stage. And we were betting like every fucking weekend. And this one mate never really bet at all, right? And then he puts one bet on the Melbourne Cup, and it was for who shot the barman, which was the horse ridden by Michelle Payne, which was like 101 to 1 or something. And he won like $1,000 on it just off a fluke. And I'm like, fuck, you cunt. But obviously, when someone says, oh, I did it on purpose, you can't doubt them or you're a fucking hater. Anyway, let's get into the fights, eh? So The big ones that I wanted to touch on, I could literally sit here and talk about every fight on the card. I should get the card back up and make sure there isn't one that I want to talk on, just in case I miss it. But one of the big ones, everyone was waiting for this one. So Kayla Harrison, she made her debut. Oh, that's right. I've got no fucking internet, dickhead. So we're going on the fly. Kayla Harrison was the big one. She came over from the PFL and she fought Holly Holm. And look, she had to cut a lot of weight, more than she normally does to fight, and she looked like fucking death on the scales the day before. But I was like, and that literally almost took my bet away. I was like, nah, she's not going to fucking win. It's going to ruin my bet, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes in there and totally fucking destroys Holly Holm in the first round. Almost knocks her out and then ends up submitting her, which is fucking insane. Like, this chick, not to be rude, this is going to come across rude, but not to be rude, she looks like a fucking jacked man with a lady face. Yeah, it does not look like she should be competing in that division, but she more or less basically said she wants to be champion by the end of the year. And going off what we saw yesterday, I could potentially see it happening for sure. But why the fuck didn't that work? There we go. A little bit of technical difficulties there. That should have been – it didn't play when I hit fucking play, but anyway. The next one that I want to talk about was the other world beater that everyone's banging on about, and I've been banging on about him as well, I guess. I've been on the hype train. Bo Nickel came out, and for someone that he probably should have ran through pretty easily – again, this dude only took him to the second round before he got finished, but – in Bo Nickel's previous fights, it was all over in a matter of fucking half a round. So he, as soon as he won, he like was thumbs downing and booing himself to the crowd, and he got on the mic and he wasn't happy with his performance. So hopefully he builds on that, comes back a bit better. Another one that should have been, this was like one of my picks to be like fight of the night, was Charles Oliveira versus Armin Sarukian. It was a literal flip of the coin fight, but I don't know why this always happens with these like big fights that we build up to be absolute bangers. They both got in there and like, again, it was a sick fight, but it was just not what we expected. And it was still close enough for it to be a split decision. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that fight? I was not impressed by that one, but let me tell you, that was all. This next fight could have been the only fight on the entire card and I would have paid $70 for it. And everyone knows what I'm going to fucking talk about. The BMF title, baddest motherfucker title. Again, I thought it was super gimmicky when it first came into the UFC, but yesterday's fight was like, holy shit, we need this title. Everyone was expecting the sickest fight ever to take place. And it goes down, again, I'm not the only one saying this, it goes down as one of the sickest fights in history and one of the sickest knockouts in history. So I actually got a clip because I'm just going to play it on here. Uncle Dana is probably not going to be too happy with me, but let's be honest, he doesn't watch the podcast. Let me open it here. So this is a clip of the last, what do we got here? 11 seconds of the fight. So the fight goes five rounds. Let me give you a bit of a recap. You could imagine this fight being everything you thought it was going to be. First round, in the final seconds, Max Holloway does a spinning back kick, kicks Justin Gaethje in the nose and fucking destroys his nose. His nose is broken. It's just gushing blood. They can't stop it no matter what they do. So now he's already compromised, right? Then we go into the second and third and Justin Gaethje gets an like heavy eye pokes in both eyes. Like they play it back and up to the first fucking knuckle is inside his eye. Again, in other fights on other cards, either the referee would call it or the fighter would go, no, I can't continue. I can't fucking see. But Justin Gaethje could literally not see, and he would still tell the ref, yeah, I can see everything, and just guess the number of fingers that he's holding up and hopefully fucking fluke it. But it literally came down to these last 11 seconds. So this is it here. Let me get it up on this screen. It is fucking nuts. Here we go.
Holloway shows some mortality. Look at this. Holloway just told him. Stand right here.
That is fucking insane. Like, literally, I don't know if you guys saw that or took any note, but 1 second to go of the entire fight and they're just standing there banging and Max Holloway just points to the center of the octagon and says, let's fucking do this, and they both just start fucking swinging. And when fighters do that, they both hope that, like, let's just keep swinging, the bell will go, then we'll fucking cuddle in the center, we'll raise each other's hands and shit. But Max Holloway just lands this fucking hook and knocks Justin Gaethje the fuck out. Which, again, I fucking love both these fighters. They're both two of my favorite fighters. I wanted Max Holloway to win more than anything. Like, that just goes and proves how much of a fucking badass he is. On top of that, if you want to see another sick Max Holloway fight, when he fought Calvin Kattar on Fight Island back in, like, the middle of the virus that we're not allowed to talk about or I'll get banned from YouTube. It was an empty arena and you could just hear Max Holloway talking and he was putting on an absolute boxing masterclass. He landed more significant strikes in that fight than anyone in history. And he was talking to the commentators while still boxing. Just go and fucking look up that fight as well. But congrats to Max Blessed Holloway. It was literally the most insane thing I've ever seen watching UFC. And he's now the undisputed BMF title holder. So I don't know who's coming for him next. The funniest thing I thought of the whole thing, right? And I wonder if it was on the end of that. Let me have a quick scroll here. Might even be on the end of this video. Nah, it's not. So unfortunately for this guy, it's exactly who he called out in his post-fight speech, but Ilia Topuria, the fucker that knocked out our angel boy, the Australian god, Alexander Volkanovsky, he is obviously the new champion and he's looking for an opponent in Spain. He's calling out everyone, blah, blah, blah. Little did he know that Max Holloway was going to go and put on another masterclass and then after he won, call this fucker out. And it is the most genuinely feared I have ever seen a fighter in my life. Like, these guys are supposed to not fear anything. They get in there every week and just bang the fuck out of each other, right? But this dude, every time the camera panned at him, he looked like he was either about to start crying or get up and get the fuck out of the arena because he was shitting his pants. And I would be too if I had to face that crazy motherfucker that just knocks someone out with 1 second to go. Like, you put in 24 minutes and 59 seconds of absolute carnage and then to pull that knockout out. Like, his body would have been on the brink of exhaustion. I know they fucking train for that shit and stuff, but again, go watch that fight. It's insane. Fucking Dana White, he's done it again. I'm going to touch on Dana after this last fight. And this was the one that everyone was messaging me about. Obviously, there was no way in the world that Pereira was going to lose the main event. The dude is, besides Max Holloway now, the scariest motherfucker I've ever seen to walk inside the octagon. He's out of the jungle. He doesn't talk English. He does a tribal march to the cage where he stops halfway through, shoots an imaginary arrow at his opponent and then lets out a fucking tribal war scream and then continues to go in there and knock people out, which, again, he went and did last night. He knocked out Jamahal Hill in the first round. I don't know if I expected it to be first round, I'll admit that, but there was just part of me that Jamal Hill was the underdog. He relinquished his title. He never technically lost his title in the cage. So part of me was like, it's a good bet. It's probably not going to happen, but it's a good bet. So he lost, and he was talking a whole lot of shit before. And I don't know if you've seen the photos getting around of Alex Pereira doing his little meme victory thing, but that was funny as fuck as well. So, yeah, congrats to Pereira. I was hoping, and again, it's tricky when he doesn't speak like fluent English and stuff like that. But like I said last week, he's chasing to be the first person to win a title in three divisions, which leaves him to move up to heavyweight. Obviously, current heavyweight champion, John Jones. That would be a fucking sick fight. I know everyone wants John Jones to fight Stipe Miocic, but Stipe is genuinely on the cusp of being an old man now. And I, as good as Stipe, like some people put him as the best heavyweight in the world, going off his statistics and shit like that, which is like I grew up watching Stipe. And I do not want to see him get destroyed by John Jones. People wanted to see John Jones versus Francis. Again, I was frothing for that fight. Francis and the UFC couldn't come to an agreement for his contract, so he's gone to the PFL. Obviously, everyone knows that. So now this fight gets my fucking dick hard. If Alex Pereira moves up to heavyweight, challenges John Jones for his title, holy shit, that would be an insane fight, and I feel like everyone knows it. John Jones just goes in there and toys with his opponents. He's the GOAT. He's the best mixed martial artist we've ever seen. Obviously, he gets himself in trouble outside the octagon. You probably would too if you were the youngest UFC champion in history, youngest UFC heavyweight champion in history. Like, imagine winning that title at 21 years old. And you just get the world handed to you, like fast cars, all the money you can look at. Like, you'd go insane as well. Everyone's standing back judging him, but whatever. But again, just when I thought the day couldn't get any bigger, Dana White milked me dry. He came in and at the post-fight press conference announced some pretty big fights. So Islam Makhachev is going to fight Dustin Poirier, which is a fucking sick fight. I'm looking forward to that one. I've wanted Dustin to get another title shot for ages, and I'm glad he's finally up there again. Do I think he's going to win? I want to say no, but after his last fight that everyone doubted him on, you just can't fucking doubt that man. He gets in there, he gets it done. All the money he earns and shit, he puts back into his community, donates to charities. He's the kind of guy you want to see succeed. So I want to see him win. Again, Islam just seems unbeatable. But if there's someone that can somehow get it done, hopefully it's Dustin. But the big one, the notorious Conor McGregor, he's coming back. I actually think I have a soundbite on here for Conor somewhere.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Oh, there we go. Conor McGregor coming back. UFC 303 in June, I think it is. Finally fighting Michael Chandler. So it's announced, it's official, all contracts are signed, there's no pulling out now. And if I did not think yesterday could get more excited and I could be more keen for a fight than I already was, I am so fucking keen for June now to come around and see if we get the old Conor or if we get the same Conor we've seen the last couple of times where he just has not been able to keep his mind straight and pull the trigger and get what he needs done. But yeah, I will go on talking about Dana as well. I, along with everyone, doubted UFC 300 from the start. We thought it was shit, but I will never doubt Uncle Dana again. He proved to us all that it was the best card in UFC history. So I could imagine he's probably sitting in his office today, rubbing his hands together, going, "Suck shit to everyone that fucking doubted me again. I proved you cunts wrong." But that's until they flash the card for UFC 301. I think you got that one wrong, Dana. I'm not too keen on that. There is an Aussie fighting for a title on there. I watched these come up a little bit on the Eternal sort of rounds. So, yeah, fingers crossed he gets it done. I don't think I'm going to buy those fights, to be honest. Nothing else on there really gets me too excited. But much like 300, I'll probably buy it the day of or the day before. But, yeah, I watched a couple of – I don't know if you want to call them movies. No, neither of them are movies. So I watched a comedy special this week again. This thing is fucking sick. I've recommended it to a couple of comedian friends. They thought it was funny as well. I recommended it to some people that don't like comedy, but every now and then they'll watch – oh, no, they like comedy. So every now and then they'll watch a special, like the big ones that come out. I'm like, holy shit, you need to watch this. It's funny as fuck. Just the line that he tiptoes the whole time, and just he's like the perfect joke writer. Like, he was a writer on The Chappelle Show. Everyone knows The Chappelle Show was one of the biggest sitcoms in – no, is it a sitcom? I don't know. I guess it's a sitcom. Anyway, one of the biggest comedy shows ever, Dave Chappelle's Chappelle Show. He was one of the writers on that. He's obviously had his own comedy career for ages. But, yeah, he's had this massive journey with anxiety and depression and stuff, and he just always used to be so miserable. Like, you'd look at him, he didn't have the ability to smile, shit like that. And he went on this crazy ayahuasca and DMT experience and just tripped balls and had this vision and cured his depression and anxiety. And, like, the amount of times I hear American podcasts and shit talk about this now, like, it is the most thing that I would probably be keen to, like, try. Like, the most – and, again, it's literally they just go and trip balls and the universe tells them what they want to hear, I would imagine. But just to hear all their stories of how they've been so down and depressed and to just go and get this eye-opening experience and then be like, holy shit, this is what I need to do, or I'm on the right path, I just need to keep going. I was joking around. I saw Adrian the other day and we're talking about – oh, it was. I was recommending this special and I was telling him about Neil Brennan. And I'm like, knowing my luck, I'd be halfway through my trip and, like, Jesus would fly down and be like, you were destined to be a cabinet maker. And then I would just fucking wake up from my trip and want to die. But yeah, it's all that shit interests me. And I remember back in the day, like when I first started with Adrian and Ash, we were keen to like get someone in to talk about all that shit, which obviously never eventuated, but hey, never say never. So yeah, if you're looking for a sick comedy special to go and watch, I guarantee you can't not laugh at the new Neil Brennan special on Netflix. I had one person message me and say, it's funny, but I can't get past the laugh track. So I don't know if he's suggesting that he had a fake laugh track dubbed in or what his story was, but again, I pushed past. It was funny as fuck. Now the tearjerker for the week. Any parent listening to this would be obsessed with this show. Ash and I used to talk about it ad nauseum on half on the podcast as well, I suppose. But yesterday, there was a 28-minute episode of Bluey released, right? And everyone was like, oh, it's going to be the last episode of Bluey. Something big's going to happen. Because the ending of the previous episode, they put a for sale sign in their front yard. So everyone's like, holy shit, what is happening? So everyone was hanging on the fucking edge of their seat for this episode to drop yesterday. And Jesus, yeah, it's like the episode was good and up until probably the 26th minute, I was like, okay, like it's sad, but whatever. But those last 2 minutes, holy shit, much like the Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway fight, it fucking had me. So I held the tears in, admittedly. They were welling up and they were about to fucking come. And then I looked over at Nikita. And she was a fucking blubbering mess, which made me laugh. And I'm like, thank you for that. That is exactly what I needed right now. So go and watch the latest episode of Bluey. It is fucking, it is good. It is, get the tissues ready if you're a crier. Again, it's pretty vague if it's the last episode or not. I said to Nikita, I'm like, it didn't feel like a last episode. And she's like, no, they left it pretty open for it to either be the ending or keep going, I suppose. So, I don't know. Maybe that's their plan. Who fucking knows? Oh, quickly touch on my week in comedy, I suppose. So had two gigs down the coast. This time last week I thought I had one gig down the coast. So I had the ARC that I was promoting on the podcast. And then the day before I get a message saying, oh, can you jump on another lineup at Pimpamar for the Diablo boys that came on the podcast back when we had guests. And I was like, well, fuck, I'm going to be driving past on my way home anyway, so sure. So I go down and I was in one of those James moods where I was hoping the switch was going to flick when I got there, but just wasn't flicking. Had another chapter opened in the saga of the thing we shall not talk about for the meantime. And it just fucked with my head again and put me in a bad mood. And I was like, fuck everything. So I got up and I bombed my dick off to about four people at the ARC, which sucked. There was more than four there. There was another group of 15 people, 15 girls, none over 20, playing pool off to the side, right? And they could not be less interested that we were there, right? So they were talking extremely loud while I'm trying to tell my jokes fucking right beside them. Anyway, eat copious amounts of dick there. And I'm like, oh, all right, need to fucking snap myself out of this for Pimpamar. It's going to be sick. We're going to fucking nail it, right? Get to Pimpamar. There's a few people there. It's not packed and it's not empty, which is good. So again, maybe 15 people there, I guess. I get there. Friend of the show, Stephen M, was there. Most of the other comedians had left, which is generally not a great sign. If it's a fun gig, you normally kick around and go, oh, how funny was that? Oh, you should work on this. Oh, blah, blah, blah. If there's no comedians there, it means they've eaten a bag of dicks and they want to get out of here as quickly as they can. So I've prepared myself for that. Stephen M comes over. We're saying hello. He goes, oh, it's a pretty sick room. Like the crowd's here for it and shit. So I'm like, fuck yeah, let's fucking do this. So pep myself up a little bit. And two comedians went on before me. And I don't know if it was getting late in the night or whatever, but maybe five or six of the crowd got up and left before I got on. And I just got up and I don't know. I just had one of those sets where it was like autopilot for the whole way. Not a crush, not a bomb. In my eyes, it was a bomb, but nothing to write home about. But the big thing that I did take from it, right, is because in those smaller rooms, when you don't have much of a crowd, the people talking, the people heckling, the outside noise, the chaos of those rooms, right? Literally, when I was first starting, those are all the rooms I was doing, right? And then I started getting into these bigger rooms and I was doing okay when people were like in these bigger rooms, I was doing okay when people weren't following the rules, so to speak. And I was getting by still because I was used to it. Whereas I was watching some of these bigger comedians that weren't on the lineups that I were on. Like they were well and truly past that. But then I'd see them face some of these moments and they would almost be like deer in headlights of holy shit, I don't know how to handle this situation because I'm just used to doing all these like good gigs one after another. Everyone's well polite. We're in like a comedy setting. Like the crowd knows the rule. They sit there, they be quiet. They let me tell my jokes. So yeah, that was the big thing that sort of came home for me. Like those last few weeks where I've toned down the gigs, I've just been doing sort of these bigger rooms where the crowds are going to be packed. It's going to be fun gigs. They're going to go well, like sort of thing. And then that made me lose that comedy muscle that you build up. And I think that was part of it. Like I literally froze at both gigs. I was like, holy shit, I don't know how to handle this anymore. So I was talking to a couple of comedy mates the other night and I'm like, I think I need to be doing, like, I know I've toned down a little bit doing the 1 to 2 gigs a week, but I think that one of those gigs needs to be in a quieter room. Because obviously that's where like the comedy magic happens, I think. Like literally anyone, like first timers can go to a comedy club and have a crush set and be like, holy shit, I'm a fully qualified, successful comedian. Like some of the people from the Raw competition that were like, yep, this is what I want to chase this. This is what my dream is. I'm going to do everything I can. Like I spoke to a couple of guys that it was their first time doing the Raw thing and they were funny as fuck on the night. And I'm like, fuck yeah. So either they added me or I added them on Instagram. And now it's like I follow their Instagrams and it's like they've just gone back to their everyday life. Like they haven't done a gig since Raw. And I'm like, do people think that Raw is it? Like probably 70 to 80% of us that did Raw this year are in the trenches like weekly, just bombing our dicks off at these open mic rooms, trying to get this 5 minutes like as tight as possible. So yeah, that was an odd thing that I took from that. But then Thursday night, I had my first gig at the Parlor for Sit Down Comedy Club. And I think it was because I did those gigs the night before. I got up there and I was just so, like when I got there, the crowd, it's a pretty upmarket bar in the city, like for me. I'm from the depths of Logan. So I walk in there, I'm like, this place is pretty fucking fancy. And the crowd that was there probably aren't my typical crowd. And I'm like, fuck, this is not going to go well. And yeah, the few comedians that went before me, they had ups and downs. And I was like, I'm going to bomb again. This is going to suck. And I got up and first joke landed and they were just fucking, they were there with me for the ride. And it was, probably one of my sickest sets. I know I've said this for a few weeks now, but one of the sickest sets I've had in a while. To the point where the MC for that gig, I've ran into them, I don't know, they've probably seen me perform maybe 4 to 5 times and it's more or less just been the polite, hey, how are you? Good luck tonight, something like that. But I had my set and then they came up to me and was like, that was fucking really funny, like good job. And it was like I was veering off from my set as well and doing some minor crowd work and just getting the crowd involved, which was sick. It was fun. That's what I want it to be. So I can only put it down to doing those quieter rooms the night before, getting me ready for it. So let's wrap it up with the motivational clip for the week. I don't even know if you would call this a motivational clip. So this is just a wake up fucking, I don't know. Anyway, it's not really motivational. It was just something that popped up on my TikTok and it was eye-opening to me of how short life is. So this is it.
Going to show you something that will finally wake you up for good. Imagine this is 1 year and this is a decade and this is what your entire life looks like from your first birthday cake to the last one at 90 years old. It all seems so incredibly short, doesn't it? I'm sure you're very ambitious and have big goals you want to fulfill. But let me ask you this. How fast did last week fly by? These are all the weeks you have in your life. Each row represents 1 year. This is how long you get if you're lucky enough to live to 90. Each square represents a week from Monday to Monday. You need to understand that your life is very finite. These 90 squares are all we get. We're alive for a very short time. It's just a fraction of the course of human history. But what you want to fill these squares with? That's up to you. Just make sure you don't regret it when you get to the last square.
But yeah, that was, I don't know why, I saw that and it resonated with me just seeing how fucking small life is when you literally break it down into squares. Like, again, audio listeners wouldn't have seen that, but just jump on YouTube and watch that part of the episode if you want to. Because, yeah, it just shows how short life is. Like, it just makes you, A, want to live it up and, B, be happy for sort of everything that you've got right now but still chase shit because no one knows when the end is going to be. And like that was 90 squares. I think the average age is like 70 or something, 75. Like fucking insane. But that blew my mind. Hopefully it blew some of your minds. Plug my shows for the week. Wednesday the 17th, I got the double up down at the Atrium Bar at Star Casino. Then I'll be shooting down to Surfers Paradise to jump on at the Avenue. My headphones are going all staticky. I hope that's not coming through the mics. Then Friday the 19th, I'll be at Matic Brewery. So that's always a sick gig. But if you can't make it to one of those gigs, shoot me a message or a submission or something to via DM at Can't Get Any Worse Podcast on Instagram, or shoot me an email at can'tgetanyworsepod@gmail.com. Share the podcast around. I've had a couple of, I'll be honest with you, I've had a couple of listeners die off in the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it's the school holidays or what. Fingers crossed it is. But, share this shit around. Tell one friend about it. Share it on your stories, whatever you want to fucking do. Tag us in it. All that mumbo jumbo. But, yeah, help me grow this thing. Hopefully I can get some fucking better lights by the looks of it. And, we can hit that next level. But thanks for listening, guys, and I will see you later.